The epistle for today, with the Feast of Trinity Sunday, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. O the depth of the riches of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God! How incomprehensible are his judgments, and how unsearchable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has given first to him that recompense should be made to him? For from him, and through him, and unto him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all days, even unto the consummation of the world." Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. We'll begin this sermon with the Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A man was sitting by his home one hot summer afternoon when he looked up and he saw three men approaching. These three men were traveling, and they were hoping to find some hospitality. They wouldn't be disappointed. The man who was waiting at his home saw them approaching. He jumped up, went into his home, and asked his wife to quickly prepare three fresh loaves of bread to bake for the men. Then he himself went out among the cattle that he had, and he chose out a calf from the flock that was very tender, very good, to slaughter for the men so that they might be well satisfied. He took the very best of what he had, and he gave it to his guests. He laid everything out before those three men, and then he stood by to wait upon them under a tree. What a welcome! A man who saw three unknown men approaching did everything that was in his power to prepare a full feast for them, taking the best of all he had. He was about to find out what his reward would be. Now, his wife had been, in the eyes of men, sterile, fruitless. And although he and his wife were now old and they wanted nothing more than to have a son, of her own power, she could not have children. The three men, sent of God, promised that in the following year they would return, and he and his wife would by then have a son. He would be a father, and so it happened. Interesting enough story, and a true one, the details of which are found in Genesis 18. It's a recorded event in the life of Abraham and his wife Sarah. So what does it have to do with today's feast, Trinity Sunday? What does it have to do with the celebration of a newly ordained priest? Well, everything. First, today's feast. The visit of Abraham by these three mysterious visitors and Abraham's response is a model for something. It's a model, although this event really took place, it's a model because God made sure it got put into scriptures to teach us something about God and about how we welcome him. And what does it teach us about God? Well, it teaches us two basic truths. It teaches us that God is one God in three divine persons. This we call the Holy Trinity. Now, the Holy Trinity is the one God in three divine persons. Not three gods, only one God, but three divine persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Ghost. Okay. There are two basic realities about the Holy Trinity. The first is that there's one God. This is his nature. This is what he is. He is God. There's a early Christian writer by the name of Tertullian, and he wrote, quote, "That which is the highest greatness must be unique and have no equal in order not to cease to be the highest. God is the highest good. If God is not one, then there is no God." Close quote. Now, what's he saying here? That which is highest, by definition, has to be unique. It has to be one. For it to be the highest, it has to stand alone. Otherwise, it's not the highest good. And for God to be God, he has to stand alone as the highest good. God is that which we call the highest good. And so, as the highest good, he cannot have an equal. He has to be one. There can therefore be only one God. Now, Isaiah 44:6 attests to the reality that there is only one God, contrary to a belief of a couple of different Christian sects. Isaiah 44:6 clearly says, I am the first and I am the last, and besides me there is no God. There's only one God. But the second reality is this. The second reality about the Trinity is that there are three persons in one God. Not three gods, but three persons in one God. So what do we mean by person? St. Thomas Aquinas explains that a person is an individual substance of a rational nature. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, it answers the question, who? Who are you? The person is who someone is. The nature is what someone is. So the Father is God, sharing in that one divine nature. The Son is God, sharing in that one divine nature. The Holy Ghost is God, also sharing in that one divine nature. So nature answers the question, what? And the person answers the question, who are you? Now, if it doesn't seem completely clear, don't worry about it. It shouldn't, okay? Even with the gift of faith, the Holy Trinity is a mystery. And it should be a mystery. If we were able to comprehend this with our finite minds, it would mean that our finite minds have been able to grasp the infinite God. And we can't do that. So, this story about Abraham teaches us about this second reality of the Holy Trinity, that there are three persons in one God. When you go home, look at the text of Genesis 18. In faithful translations of the Hebrew, Abraham sees three men, that is, three persons, approaching his home. Now, although Abraham sees three men, he addresses them in the singular. It's interesting. At one point, the translation says, when they had eaten, they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And then in response, he says, to him, in the singular. So these three men are a mysterious manifestation of the Trinity. At one time, they're treated like three, addressed in the plural, the three persons of the Holy Trinity. And at another time, they're treated as one, like the one God. There's a manifestation of this, a symbol of this, in the three sacred ministers we have here in a solemn mass. You see how there are three, but yet they act as one. That's a manifestation of the Holy Trinity. And this isn't the first time that the one God is spoken of in a plural way, okay, a plural way to show the three persons. From the very first chapter of the Bible, in Genesis 1, it says there, let us make man after our image and likeness. Okay, now we've seen what this event in Abraham's life teaches us about God. One God and three divine persons. But what does this event teach us about our response to God? And what about the newly ordained priest? We'll get to that. To answer that, we have to understand a fundamental principle that repeats throughout Scripture. Signs, foreshadowing, prophecies in Scripture always go from the lesser to the greater. They always go from a promise to a fulfillment, a greater fulfillment of that promise. So the three men that visited Abraham in a miraculous way, foreshadowing his future son, although this event really took place, this was a sign of some greater reality yet to come. So the Trinity came to Abraham in a mysterious way and was his guest for a short time. But this was just a faint foreshadowing of the greater reality that God in the future would come to be among men to take up his dwelling permanently among them. God wants to permanently dwell among us, with us, in us. We see this when our Lord came to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary. In Luke chapter 2, we see an example of how God manifested himself to the Blessed Mother at the incarnation, when God took on a human nature. The angel Gabriel said to her, quote, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. And the Holy that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of the Most High." The Holy Ghost, the Most High, that is God the Father, and the Son of the Most High. The Holy Trinity came to the Blessed Mother. This is a special grace that she was given, but it's also a bit of a foreshadowing of what God wants to do in a certain way for us. Now we may say to ourselves, well look, that's Abraham. That's the Blessed Virgin Mary, okay? Special graces. This surely can't be for me. Now obviously, the incarnation, the grace that Mary received was a very special one, okay? But in a certain way, God does want to dwell in us. We'll let him answer the objection. The night before he died, our Lord Jesus said, "If anyone love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our dwelling with him." And not to exclude the Holy Spirit, our Lord said, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, shall dwell with you and shall be in you." This is from John 14, 17, and verse 23. Think about this. Just imagine this. God loves us so much that anyone who loves him, keeps his word, he will come and dwell among them. That's how much God loves us. It's unfathomable that God, Almighty God, would want us to dwell in us. We who have sinned have offended Almighty God, but yet he wants to take away that sin, and he wants to dwell in us, if we will accept his love. So, what does this have to do with the celebration of our newly ordained priest? Look at the things that Abraham prepared for those three visitors. He prepared unleavened bread. He prepared flesh for them. The calf which he chose from among his cattle, the very best, very tender, and very good. And then he stood under a tree to wait upon those three men that were guests of his. The unleavened bread, the flesh, the feast. This is what God gives us through the hands of a priest. This is what God does. He wants to manifest himself to us in a greater way than happened to Abraham. But he looks for people in whom to dwell, in whom to manifest himself. And Abraham is a very good type, a very good foreshadowing of the priest. Look what he does. He goes to his wife, his spouse, which is the church, and he has the church prepare what is necessary for God to become present right there in this home, this house of God. He has the priest prepare the bread, which then becomes the flesh of our blessed Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Because we cannot live without eating, both in our bodies and in our souls. Our souls are not separated. They're not independent from our bodies. We are connected to them. That's the nature that God has given us. We're dependent upon them for our life. And so God wants to come to us to give us spiritual life through our eating as well. He also, Abraham does, he waits under a tree. The priest lives his life under the shadow of another tree, the tree of the cross. He's been ordained for the sake of his wife, not Sarah, okay, not one who is thought by the world to be fruitless, sterile, but the Catholic Church, even though thought by the world to be fruitless, sterile, even in its old age, as Sarah was, yet it will bring forth fruit. It will bring forth new life, and it does every day. Every day, new souls brought to life in God through baptism, through the sacrament of confession, where those who are dead are now restored to spiritual life, so that God again can make his dwelling in us. This is the great privilege that God has entrusted to the hands of Father Lillard, to give God himself, bring our Lord Jesus Christ himself into the world once more. Saint Bernard actually said, he addressed this to the Virgin Mary. He said, "Pardon me, dear Blessed Virgin Mary, but God sort of outdid what he did. You brought the Lord into the world once, but the priest brings him in at every Holy Mass. It's an incredible privilege. But focus more upon the great love of God, how he wants to dwell in each one of us. Remember his Lord's our Lord's words. If anyone love me, anyone love me. Anyone. Our Lord wants to dwell in each one of us. He's already paid the price. He died once for all on the cross. He's already paid that price. But now he wants to make his life anew in us. And he wants to bring it about through a human contact. Just as he creates new people through human cooperation, huh? He wants to bring about new Christians into the world through human cooperation, through that human contact, which is brought about through the hands of a father. Yes, a father. Remember what Abraham means. The name Abraham means the father of a multitude. And so the priest is a father also, because he brings about new life. He provides new life. The church is a mother, and therefore nourishes that life. Nourishes it and increases it. Let us thank the good God for this incredible love that he shows us, to want to dwell in us, to live in us, to manifest himself to us. Thank God for the great gift of sanctifying grace by which God dwells in us, and for the great gift of the priesthood, by which God brings himself anew into the world. May God bless you. May Our Lady of the Rosary pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.